I struggle when I come to the major prophets, the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They're all, except for Daniel, they're all long books. Isaiah, as I mentioned this morning, has 66 chapters. Jeremiah has 52. Ezekiel has 48. Daniel only has 12. But three of the four are long books. Even the books themselves, within the books, they're not in chronological order. So if you want to read the books, the book in one of the books in chronological order, you've got to skip around within that book. They use lots of analogies and word pictures. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of it's hard. I mean, I have to really study to understand what those books are saying. Now, Lamentations only has five chapters in it. It's a little book that's in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And I have the same difficulty with it. I mean, I like chapter 3 where God said, "My mercies are new every morning." And I like this verse here in verse 51 that we read a minute ago, "Mine eyes affecteth my heart." And that's where I want to preach from tonight. Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. And as I mentioned this morning, God sent Isaiah, God sent Jeremiah, God sent Ezekiel with warnings to his people to turn from their sin. And that's what the book of Jeremiah is basically. It's a warning from God that if you don't turn from your sin, you're going to be punished. God's people, as we know, was going to ignore the warnings of his warnings, the warnings from the prophet, and God was going to send punishment. And that punishment came in the form of the Babylonians. The Assyrians came first for the northern kingdom. The Babylonians came for the southern kingdom. They came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They tore down the walls. They destroyed the temple. They burned the king's house. They carried the young, bright, talented back to Babylon. That's where Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego were caught up. They were some that were carried away captive. They left the city in shambles, and Jeremiah was there to preach to those that were left. And the book of Lamentations is his lament over the city. The book of Lamentations is his cry to God for the punishment that God had inflicted on his people. We read in verse 48, "My eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah was an emotional kind of person. He preached, and as he preached, he'd cry. He'd preach some more, then he'd cry some more. You know, I think every now and then that our emotions ought to show up as we think about what God has done for us. Amen. As we think about that we were sinners that had no hope, that were headed for hell, and that for no deserving reason God loved us. He sent his son to die in our place, offers us grace and mercy. And every now and then when we think about that, it ought to so overwhelm us that we can't help but weep. I mean, and again, I know that men especially don't like to show their emotion, but Jeremiah didn't mind showing his. I mean, he would weep when he saw the punishment that God had ravaged on his people, and he wept as he saw the results of their sin. Now, he says in verse 49, "My eye trickleth down and ceaseth not." He says, "I can't cry. I can't stop crying without any intermission." And again, what his eye was looking at was the destruction of the city. King's house burned down, people carried off captive, the punishment of God. And he saw all that and he wept. And he said in verse 51, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." My eye affecteth my heart. He saw all that God allowed to happen. He saw the punishment. And he says, not only does it cause me to weep, not only does it affect my eyes, but what I see affects my heart. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." If you let your heart get troubled, you're going to be troubled. If you let your heart get discouraged, you're going to be discouraged. If you let your heart get down, you're going to be get down. Jeremiah was saying, I see the destruction with mine eyes. Mine eyes affected my heart. And because my heart is affected, I'm discouraged and I'm down and I can't stop weeping. My message tonight is be careful what goes into your heart through your eyes. Guard your eyes, guard your heart, and be careful what you let go through your eyes to your heart. We sing that little chorus sometimes. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We usually sing it to remind us to keep our eyes off of evil things. Don't let evil things come before you. Now, the psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That should, and what he was saying is, we need to keep our eyes off of wicked things. Now, that covers most of what's on TV. Amen? Patty was gone the other day. I had studied for a couple hours. I wanted to just take a break. So I went out and turned on the TV. I started channel surfing. You know what that is? You just go from channel to channel to channel. In 20 minutes, I did that for 20 minutes. I heard, I wrote these down. I heard 8 curse words in 20 minutes. I saw 2 murders in 20 minutes. I saw parts, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw 4 beer commercials in 20 minutes, and 2 advertisements for divorce lawyers. Now, 20 minutes, just 20 minutes. Cursing, murder, beer, and divorce. Now, I would think the psalmist, if he could be here and see a TV, when he would say, set no wicked thing before your eyes, he would say, this is an example of what I'm talking about. There's nothing, and I don't want to say there's nothing on TV worth watching. There's some things, but for the most part, we'd be better off not to look at what the normal fare is on TV. So that's how we usually think about this verse. That's how we usually think about that little chorus that we sing. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. But tonight, I want to turn it around. Because if my eye affecteth my heart, if it affected Jeremiah, he says, I see all this discouraging stuff. I see all these things that God has wrought on his people because of their sin, and it goes through my eyes to my heart, and it discourages my heart, and it causes me to weep. I want to submit to you tonight that the opposite could also be true. As we put our eyes on good things, as we put our eyes on things that God has blessed us with, for good, that too will affect our heart. And instead of our heart being discouraged, our heart could rejoice. Our heart could be lifted up. Our heart could be encouraged. And so tonight, I want to real simply and real quickly suggest to you 4 things that we ought to put our eyes on that won't discourage our hearts, but will encourage our hearts, that will draw us closer to God. So here we go. Number 1, put your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Look at the scars. See the love that those scars represent. Remember the day that you decided to receive the Lord as your Savior. Remember how you felt. I don't know about you, but I remember like yesterday, the night that I got saved. I got up off of my knees in my pastor's study. I felt like a ton had been lifted off of my shoulders. I can remember, and I've told you before, I was too shy to get saved. I didn't want to walk down the aisle. I mean, if I had to walk down the aisle to get saved, I probably wouldn't be saved to this day. I know you don't believe it, but when I was a teenager, I was very shy. I did not want to get up in front of people. I actually failed speech class in high school because I told my teacher, I can't speak. I cannot. She said, yes, you can. You can. I said, no, I can't. And she said, well, make sure you never go into politics. I said, well, I wouldn't do that anyway. But remember the time that you got saved. Remember the moment that you asked Jesus to be your Savior. Remember how you felt that moment. We sing that little chorus, I'm so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Think about that. Let that roll around in your heart and in your soul. Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God, loved you enough and loved me enough to go to the cross and die for our sins and suffer for our sins and pay the price for our sins. When I was a sinner, what I deserved was the worst punishment that God could give. But Jesus went to Calvary and he took upon himself that punishment. And if I believe what the Bible says about the cross, if I believe what the Bible says about God's grace, if I believe what the Bible says about coming to Jesus and asking him to save me, and I do that, and I put feet to my belief, and I come to Jesus, and I did. I came to Jesus, and I asked him to save me, and I testify tonight, as Mary Ann sang this morning, I have been forgiven. I have been saved from the penalty and punishment of sin because the Son of God loved me. Now, if that doesn't encourage your heart, I don't know what will. If that don't get you emotional every now and then, man, you need to make a trip to the altar and ask God to work on you a little bit. If that doesn't get you excited, if that doesn't get you emotional to think about what Jesus did for you, and by the way, people don't get right with God any other way. He's the only way. I mean, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's not good works. It's not the church. It's not baptism. It's not communion like we had this morning. It's not being a Baptist or a Presbyterian. It is Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name. It'll do wonders for your heart. Let Jesus go through your eye gate into your heart. It'll do wonders for your heart. Number two, quickly, look at Jesus. Look at the Bible. Look at his word. How much time did you spend in the Bible this week? How much time did you spend reading it? How much time did you study it? How much time did you spend meditating on it? How much time did you spend memorizing? I talked about it a little bit last week. There's nobody too old in this room tonight that can say, I'm too old to memorize the Bible. No, 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 no. And I know people are saying, preacher, you talked about this last week. It's like a broken record. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Sorry, I'm going to keep playing this record. If you don't like the record, go somewhere else, because this is the record you're going to get here. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. It is God's word. We ought to spend time in God's word. Sing the song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. There's no other book. We talked about being holy this morning. This is a holy book. This is a holy Bible because there is no other book in all the world. Never has been. Never is not true today and never will be. There is none other book like this book. This is the word of God. And I happen to believe that everything that I need to get to live my life on this earth, everything I need to know about the past, and everything I need to know about the future, I can find in this book. Somebody says B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I like it. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Everything we need to live while we're here and everything we need to get ready for making our departure from this place is in this book. Look at Jesus. Look at the Bible. Number three, look at the faithful. Psalm 101 verse 6 says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land." Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. I'm so glad that God has put faithful people in our church. I'm so glad that God has put couples in our church that have been married for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. You know what? I read the other day that the divorce rate is now over 65%. 65% of every marriage ends in divorce. I'm so glad that God has put in our church examples for the young people of couples that have decided to stay together, that are honoring their vows till death do us part, that are honoring God. And again, I won't mention any names tonight. You ever look at those couples and you think, I wonder if those couples ever fuss and fight? I look at Clint and Wanda tonight. I told you I wasn't going to mention any names, so I'm not going to mention any names. I look at Wayne and Carol. I look at others that have been married for a long, long time. And I sit back and say, I wonder if they fuss at all. But you know, it doesn't matter. Maybe they fuss, maybe they don't. It doesn't matter. They have decided to stick together. They have decided to honor their vows to each other and their vows that they made before God. And I'm so glad that God has put faithful people. I'm so glad that God has put faithful people in our church when it comes to being a part of our church and staying a part of our church. We have people that come, we have people that go, but we also have people that stay. That stay. Hey, your preacher's going to mess up. He has before. I don't know of anything I'm messed up in right now, but I probably will in the future. And so if you've come because you think you have a perfect preacher, I'm going to prick your bubble tonight. You do not have a perfect preacher. He makes mistakes. And yet people have been here for years and years and years. They're so stubborn, they're not going to leave. But they've been here for years and years and years because they said, this is where God wants me. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. Yeah, everything's not always going to be peaches and cream. Everything's not going to always be the way that it should be. But they've said, this is where God wants me. This is where I'm going to stay. I'm so glad that God has given us faithful people that we can keep our eyes on and pattern our lives after, look at them through our eyes and let it go down and affect our heart. And then number four, look at the positive. Too many people are looking at the negative and they concentrate on the negative. You know, there's just as many good things in this world as there are negative things. We tend to look at the negative, to concentrate on the negative. It's like that man, this is with apologies to Brother Bill back there, because every time I tell a joke, he says, preacher, you're not the church comedian, you're the pastor. I said, okay. But it's like the man that was training to be a paratrooper, and he was up in the plane with his sergeant, and his sergeant says, now here's what you're going to do, guys. This was the first jump they ever made. He says, you're going to jump out of the plane. You're going to count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're going to pull this big cord. And then your parachute will open. If for some reason your main chute doesn't open, you count to 10 again and you pull this little cord. And then your backup chute will open. And then when you get down to the ground, there'll be trucks down there to pick you up. So this big boy jumped out of the plane. He counted to 10. He pulled that big cord. Nothing happened. He counted to 10 again. He pulled that little cord. Nothing happened. And he said, yep, and I bet those trucks aren't going to be down there either to pick me up. How was that, Brother Bill? We concentrate on the negatives. Hey, and you can find negatives every day. You can find something that'll discourage you. You can find something that'll get you down if you choose to look at it. But why choose to look at the negatives? Look at the positives. Look at the good things that God puts into your life every single day.
Amen.
And again, there's nobody here that can say, God doesn't do anything good for me every day. Yes, he does. He does. If you don't know that he does, you just haven't taken the time to look at him. You haven't taken the time to consider him. God works in our life and does something good every single day.
Amen.
Let's look for those things and let our eyes affect our heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the service, just the whole service tonight, the singing and the testimonies, the special, just everything. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting with us tonight. And I pray if there is one person here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, that before they leave this place, they'll see that they're a sinner, there's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus paid the price that we owed. If we'd come and ask him, he'd save us. He'd make us one of your children, make us part of of this family, and give us a home in heaven. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convict the heart. If it's just one person that's here that's not sure they're saved, convict their heart tonight. Help them to receive Jesus. And then I pray for the many Christians. What an encouragement it's been to be at this service tonight, just in the testimonies. We could have gone home after the testimonies and you could have accomplished your will tonight. What an encouragement it's been. And I pray, Father, that we would keep our eyes on Jesus. We'd stay in this book and we'd look for the positive that you send into our life every single day. And so I pray, Father, I just pray that you'll work in our hearts tonight. Whatever you need to do, you'll accomplish it. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.